With our special guest tonight, Annie Wilder, and we're going to take your phone calls, and perhaps if you're a truck driver with a strange haunted story, share that with us as well on Coast to Coast AM. Annie, what do your kids say about these spirits that are hovering all over the place?
Well, when I moved in, my kids were teenagers. So they were, my daughter was a blue-haired punker, and my son was like in an Elvis obsession phase. So they were sort of, you know, they thought it was novel and sort of cool. And they both have had experiences here. I mean, they've grown up and moved away since then. But I might have thought twice about moving into the house if they were really little kids. But I figured if anything, they might, you know, make the ghost, as we called Leon at the time, they might make him want to go to the light, you know, like, sorry, I got teenagers.
Yeah.
Ah. So, but yeah, they had experiences here, and my daughter is actually more intuitive than I am. And she has, even not living here anymore, tunes into stuff going on in the house. Like one night I was asleep downstairs on the couch, and we have this couch that we call the magic sleeping couch, because as soon as you sit down on it, you're just like boom. And Linda Drake, this, I actually should really give Linda Drake a lot of credit. She has tuned into so much about my house, but she came here and she looked at the couch, and she looked down the hall and she said, "Is this the magic sleeping couch?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Have you ever had it somewhere else in your house?" And I said, "Yes, we had it in the parlor when we first moved here." And she said, "Was it a magic sleeping couch then?" And I said, "No." And she said, "It's not the couch. It's the portal in the hallway. It just drains the energy. You know, it just pulls it out of here, and this couch is right in the path." So I was on the magic sleeping couch one night, woke up, and the lights were on in the living room. I had fallen asleep with the lights on. My kids didn't live here anymore. And I thought I saw something come through the living room ceiling that looked like a black cloaked thing that was sort of crouched and land in the middle of the floor. Oh, my lights just flickered right now in my bedroom where I'm
talking. You mean while you're talking to me?
Yeah, there was some, yeah, while I'm talking to you. Okay.
Here we go.
That's what the house is like. So I knew intellectually when I saw this thing come landing down on the floor that I should be really scared because it was very ominous. But I was so tired. I could just feel myself just completely getting sucked back into deep sleep. Okay, so then I woke up a few hours later. Everything was fine. I went to bed. The next day, my daughter called me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And she said, "Did anything happen last night?" And I said, "Well, I thought I saw this black thing land in the living room." And she said, "I dreamt that there was a vampire in your house." So lots of connections that way of it's just, you know, like even right now telling the story, I've been sitting here for more than an hour. The light hasn't done anything. And in fact, I've never seen this light.
And then you pop on and here it is.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll grab some phone calls here. West of the Rockies, Heather, get us going. Stockton, California. Hi, Heather.
Hi, George. Hi, Annie.
Hey.
Hi. I'm calling because something has been bothering me. My dad passed away in March of 2007.
Okay.
Bad heart issues and stuff like that. Well, a lot of the family couldn't make it to the funeral because it was in Idaho. And we had somebody record it so that way his brothers and sisters who lived, you know, scattered across the U.S. could see it, you know, because they couldn't unfortunately be there. Well, when we got back to the reception house where he was living at when he died, we watched the video to make sure everything came out okay. And when we were watching it, my sister, my little sister at the time, she was, I believe, roughly 18 years old, and she got up on stage and was going to, you know, she started singing a song, and in fact, it was her and her girlfriend because she was real nervous to sing it. And when we were watching this video, I don't know if it was our subconscious trying to believe it or not. You know, I am a believer, you know, but I do have my questions on, you know, paranormal and ghosts and all that stuff too. you know, I'm not a fool. I have questions. But my thing is when we were watching the video, me, my uncle, and my mom, and my dad's best friend, and my sisters were in the room watching the video, and we could see, like, clear as day, my sister's on stage singing, we could see my dad's, like, a silhouette of my dad. And we could tell what he was wearing, could see his watch, could see the short sleeve greenish colored shirt he had on. He had a bald head. You know, this is what he looked like before he got really, really sick and thin and stuff. And his hand was on her shoulder. Now, is that something that maybe at the time our minds are all messed up at the time? We're just wanting to believe that that's him, or can that be true? And also there's another part in the video, too, I wanted to discuss. When we go, we're still videotaping, when we get to the funeral or the burial site, everything is fine. It's a rainy day, it's cloudy, so there's no sun to interfere with the lighting on the video camera. It's just a regular, nothing fancy video camera. One of my little sister's friends was doing the recording for us. He was recording the part of the casket coming out of the hearse, and everything was fine for like the first 2 to 3 minutes of that, and all of a sudden the screen went like this real spooky white. And it stayed like that for almost a minute. And then all of a sudden, it's like it blocked out from just him coming out of the hearse and take him over to the site where we were going to bury him. And then all of a sudden it came back to regular picture view as they were setting him up on the things before they roll him down into the ground. I don't know that we can't get over that more than anything, because we don't see how that could have happened. We don't know if that was him, blocking something out. I don't know.
What do you think that might have been, Annie?
For 5 years.
I think that seeing your dad with his hand on your sister's shoulder, actually, that just made my skin go. That's so cool. I think it was a message from your dad. That he's okay, because you said he looked like he did before he got sick. And the fact that everyone saw the same thing, to me, that's super special. I would take it as a reassurance from your dad. And the light blocking the part of the video, my impression is it could be two things. One, it could literally just be your dad's energy manifesting, and why at that particular moment, I don't know. Or maybe it was that he didn't want that part of the video to be seen. But I think there's no doubt in my mind that the spirits can affect the physical world. So I take it as a very special message from your dad that he's okay.
No question about that. Let's go to Steve, truck driving in Tennessee. Hi, Steve. What do you got for us?
Hey, George, I got my one and only ghost story.
All right.
I'm a truck driver. I'm driving down I-84 in Sweet Home, Idaho. It was like 2:00 in the morning, and I'm messing with the radio, trying to tune in Art Bell back then. And like out of the corner of my eye in the left-hand side, I see this huge wolf just flying down this hill, just going as fast as he could. I did like a quick calculation. I figured out he was going to go right into the truck tire. And so I just let off the gas, and I'm watching him. He gets right to the center of the truck. And like in one movement of his feet, he turns and goes at like a 45-degree angle, heading up the hill now.
Yeah.
Away from the truck. And I couldn't believe that move. So I looked down at the speedometer, and I was still doing 62 miles an hour. And that freaked me out so bad, I didn't know what it was. So I actually sped up and kept it at 62 miles an hour. And he, just as he got away from the back end of the, or out from underneath the tire on the passenger side, he spun his head around and looked at the truck. And he had like one of those Indian masks, you know how they wear the animal masks? And his eyes were slit, and it was kind of bobbling around on top of his head like it was a mask. And I kind of got the message from him. you know, it was like he was laughing, and he was saying, "Ha-ha, you can't get me." And he, I mean, there's no way a wolf can do 62 miles an hour. But he did it for, like, probably four or five leaps and bounds across the road.
I love that story. There you go.
Freaky. Yeah, that is super-duper freaky. Do you think it was...
You could probably start a new book just with stories that come in.
Yeah, totally. I love that story.
Let's go to Alana in Westchester, California, on the wild card line. Hi, Alana.
Hi, George. Hi, Anne. I have something to tell you that is so bizarre. George, I met you at the Queen Mary year ago.
All right. Had a great time out there.
I did. I had a wonderful time. But here's what happened tonight. I lived in Pismo Beach. I'm now in Westchester. I just had a really weird feeling, and I called one of my friends that still lives up there, and she said, she started crying. She goes, "You're not going to believe what happened. Gary blew up in his house today." And I said, "What?" She said, "His brain and his heart blew out of his body." And she goes, "He's been using oxygen because he couldn't breathe," but she kept telling him not to smoke with it. And, I mean, I didn't know what to say. I'm down in Westchester here, and he was my neighbor for 12 years, and it's him and his son. And so I tried to call a friend of mine that doesn't even know them, and I called him, and his name is Chris, and I was talking to him, and all of a sudden, this kid heard Chris say Alana, and it was the kid's father that died last night. And he goes, "Oh, my God, I can't believe this. You're my fairy godmother." That's what, you know, like. And he just met Chris that day. Is this weird or what? His son is so freaked out. I'm so freaked out. I don't know why. I think his dad wanted me to tell his son something. That he loved him or something, you know? He died from oxygen inhalation, and he lit a cigarette, and it blew him up. And the son came in at 11 o'clock last night and found his father in flames. And I don't know. I need to ask you guys, what happened here? How did I get this kid through someone that didn't even know him?
Well, that's a good question. How does that happen, Annie?
I think that if I'm understanding the story correctly, it could be the man who, you know, had the accident with oxygen and a cigarette is putting someone in his son's life who can help him or who can be a source of support or who can share stories about his dad, you know, share stories about him and his life. I think that there's a lot when something is that, you know, just weird and coincidental, then I think that there's some larger meaning to it. But and to just try to figure out what good can come from this is the way to approach it.
Let's go to Dave, truck driving in Connecticut, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, David.
Hey, George, Annie, how are you?
Great.
Good.
Okay, I delivered cast iron water pipe to a construction site down in Richland, North Carolina, which is by Granite. It was a small construction site, maybe 4 acres, a pile of rubble off to the side. Pulled in, and I asked the contractor, there used to be a house there, and he wasn't sure. He didn't know. So he's unloading the truck. I walk over to the rubble and looking around and find a little blue marble, and it had dirt caked on it. So I pick up the marble, and I walk back towards the back of the truck, and I'm watching. I got the marble in between my hands, and I'm rubbing the dirt off of it. Then I looked down to my left. There was a 7-year-old boy standing there looking up at me, smiling.
Ooh.
That's cool. You know whose marble it was then?
That was his marble. I still sure have the marble. This happened a couple years ago, though.
He might want to come back for it.
Well, you have it.
You never. Annie, why do little kid ghosts come across as creepy?
I think because we don't want to think of little kids being dead. I mean, you want little kids to be safe and happy and, you know, concerned with.
Is it Hollywood, though? Hollywood makes them all evil.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that.
I mean, I haven't seen a good little kid in a Hollywood movie ghost. They're all evil. I don't count Casper, of course.
No. Yeah, you're right. They do turn them creepy, and there is something super duper creepy about a little kid ghost.
They're grayish, white looking. They've got that strange look in their eyes. It's just Hollywood does that. But I mean, I would guess some of it is real, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I have never encountered any children ghosts in my house that I've seen. I've heard gentle little tappings on this little kid's chair from a tea set table that I picked up at a garage sale. And around that same time, a pencil that was on the table that had been there for like 3 days suddenly just rolled off and dropped on the floor when I was thinking about, you know, I wonder if that is a little kid ghost in the house. But I think that one reason that the image of little kid ghosts is so disturbing because it's just they're at the opposite spectrum of life. So if you have this, you know, idea of somebody young and innocent and happy and sweet that you want to protect, and then Hollywood puts a little gory makeup on him and makes him look like a dead, you know, corpse child. It's just very disturbing to our psyches and our expectations.
What do you think of EVPs?
They've captured a lot of them in my house. In fact, the people that came here first said they had never, ever gotten more EVPs in a private residence. I think they're spooky. I think they're spooky because when you hear a tap on the wall or you hear footsteps or the light flickers off and on, that's interesting, but it's not that human. But when you hear a voice saying, Annie, or, you know, don't turn me into a book, was one of the EVPs they captured here, it's much more personal and much more human and real. And so, yeah, I think they're interesting and scary.
Yeah, it sure is. How do people get your books, Annie?
They are online at many online bookstores, and I think they're still at the bigger bookstores and independent bookstores as well.
What is the Trucker Ghost Stories? Does it have a title?
That is the title, Trucker Ghost.
There it is, simple.
Yeah, yep.
And also House Spirits or Whispers, right?
Yep, House of Spirits and Whispers, and then Spirits Out of Time. And I have a website, AnnieWilder.com, that has EVPs that have been recorded here, videos that have been taken in my house. I was on my ghost story this year, and that video, a link to that is on my website.
You could probably do a reality show right there, Annie. Hey, stay with us. We're gonna come back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with you tonight on Coast to Coast AM, and I'll also tell you what's in store, of course, on tomorrow's Coast to Coast show. And if you're still looking for value from Amazon.com, our book, Talking to the Dead, is available at a steep discount. You can go there right now and pick some up for the holidays and just give them away as gifts. On our next Coast to Coast program, Cliff Pickover joins us. We'll talk about his latest work in physics. It's an incredible story from the Big Bang to quantum resurrection. All kinds of things that you've always wondered about. We'll be chatting with Cliff about that on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back with Annie Wilder, we'll take final phone calls. Don't go away. Annie, have you ever come across any cases of possession where people have been taken over by spirits?
No, I haven't. It doesn't mean I don't believe that it can happen. I just haven't encountered that. And frankly, that would be something that I would be scared to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I assume you've not participated in an exorcism.
Nope. I'm actually sort of afraid to even read books about that just because I don't want to start thinking about it in this weird house. I don't want to attract things. And somebody had sent me an email saying that their mom had done all these Ouija board sessions in the 70s or 80s and recorded them on tape. And, you know, then her husband died or her trailer burned down, just all terrible things. And they're like, we're sort of afraid of these tapes and we want to send them to you. And I'm like, don't send them to me. Please don't send them to me. I'm like, there may be people like Joshua Warren. I think it's Joshua Warren and Lorraine Warren and people who are trained to, like, take things like that, that may be just have the energy of something really bad and keep it in a safe way.
Well, you said you have a portal. You have portals in your house now. Aren't you concerned that, you know, something can come through?
Yes, because stuff has come through that is not cool. I mean, I actually was pinned down in my bed one night by something.
Yeah,
and
that happens.
Yeah, and sat up so angry when it finally lifted off, turned on the light, swung my elbow behind me like, just, you know, get out of here. And sitting up in my bed with the light on, I felt this tongue go into my ear. That was the worst thing that's happened to me here. But there have been other spooky things, and that's why I work really hard to keep the energy of this house positive. And I actually feel like Leon, the old man who lived here before us, is an ally in the spirit world, helping keep this house safe and positive.
All right, let's go to final phone calls now. Richard in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to make this quick. All right, the backstory is a lot of conflict in my house. There's a lot of arguing going on. I'm going through a separation, and I've lost 3 relatives, well, my grandparents, my uncle, within the past 5 years. Okay? First thing that happened is my daughter said her blankets were moving off of her, okay? The second thing is my VCR downstairs is turning on by itself. Third thing, I got an old clock from my grandmother, my grandparents. They kind of get a wind up, and it has that pendulum thing that swings.
Yeah.
It keeps stopping, but it stops at the same place but at a different hour. Like, it'll stop at 4 minutes to the top of the hour, you know, or 4 minutes to the top of the hour. And then last night, my wife said the VCR went we've got an old VCR with a TV all in one piece. She said the tape went inside the television. So I thought she was messing with me. So I went upstairs, and it takes quite a bit of pressure to push that tape in. And I poked my head in there, and I closed the door, and I kind of made fun of her, and I'm like, if we got spirits in this house, you know, they're probably saying, please leave me alone, shut up, you know, and as soon as I did that, the tape went back in the thing again, back into the television by itself. I'm just wondering, there's a lot of arguing in this house, and is this a bad thing, and when should I start worrying, and, could I have caused this? Because a while ago, like last year, I was like, no, I don't believe in afterlife or nothing like that. I'm like, come on, spirits. Come on, evil spirits, show yourself. You know?
You might have been able to cause it. People do that, Annie, don't they?
Yeah, I think challenging and inviting something, it was an invitation. But it doesn't mean that you can't turn it around. And this is one of the things that is sort of interesting about ghost stuff too. It's like you're talking about arguing, which is, I know it's a hard situation. I was divorced before, but for both the sake of the spirit stuff going on and for the sake of all of you in the house, your wife and your child and other kids if you have them, it would be really the best to try to come up with a different way to work out your differences, even if you end up splitting up. But inviting something in as a challenge, all you need to do now is disinvite. Tell them to leave, the spirits to leave. If you have, if it's your family members that are letting you know they're there, you can invite them to visit you in a dream and let you know that they're okay. But it sounds like you don't need or don't want any other weird spirit stuff going on. And if things are already tense in the house, I wouldn't recommend. I would keep boundaries up as far as spirits, because it's going to attract the wrong kind of spirits, even if you didn't invite them.
All right, next up, let's go to Vicki, truck driving in Indiana. First-time caller. Vicki's been on hold so long, she's probably here in L.A. by now. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
I listen to you all the time, and I appreciate the
talk. You are welcome.
I have a story for you. I've had a lot of paranormal things happen to me throughout my life, but here was one that I really appreciated. I was coming back from Michigan on 75, and since it was a short trip, there's no way I would stop at a rest area, and it was extremely foggy, so thick, and I was driving with three other drivers. I was the second truck in four, and we're driving along talking on the radio, and all of a sudden something pulls my truck into the rest area. I mean, takes my steering wheel and pulls me in, and they said, well, you should have told us you were going to stop. We'd have stopped with you. I said, I didn't know I was going to. And then I thought, since I was there, I'd go in and go to the restroom. When I came out, it was a parking lot. And I get on the radio to ask what had gone on, and the guy said, Snow White, good thing you pulled in. The first and the third truck went into the ditch. And if I'd have been there, I'd have gone right into the ditch with them. I don't know if it was my guardian angel or if it was my dad watching out for me. But
well, and the dad could be the guardian angel now. What do you think, Annie?
Yeah, I
tell you, I've had a couple things like that happen. I used to go down to Corbin all the time, and I always left out at 8 o'clock on the dot every morning. And there was a UPS truck driver that I always passed right there at the 176 in Berea. And that day, particular day, everything went wrong, and I was like 15 minutes late getting out. And that day when I got down to the 176, right before that, there was a huge fire going on, and I asked what would happen, and evidently a tanker had come down the hill. There's a mountain there. He'd come down the hill. He had blown a steer tire, rolled over the wall, and ran right into that UPS truck driver.
Jeez.
They both blew up, and that's exactly where I would have been had I been on time.
Great synchronicity there. Interesting timing. Indeed. Thanks for that story. Let's go to Lois in Woodrow, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Lois, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I have just a story about my great-granddaughters have two nieces. They were two and three at the time, the nieces. And my great-granddaughter said they just look up at the ceiling and they jabber and talk and, you know, just for 15, 20 minutes at a time. And they were telling me about it, and I said, well, ask them who they're talking to. So, because I listen to your show all the time.
Yeah, thank you.
So they asked them, and they said, oh, that's Bill. And the little one nodded her head yes. And they said, well, what does Bill look like? He's just a man. Well, what's he wearing? He has a red shirt and green pants. And they live in Red Wing, Minnesota. That's pretty close to Hastings, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that used to be lumber area, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what the lumbermen always wore, the green pants and the red shirt.
That's
so I thought that was probably what they were, who they were talking to. Anyway, one day they were talking to him, and after a while, then they walking around, and my granddaughter said, did Bill go? And they said, yeah, he went to the castle. He said he had to go home, and he never came back again.
That's so cool. Little kids are tuned in.
Yep, they are. Okay, thanks. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Great stories, indeed. Annie, do you find that these ghost stories change based on the season? Do they get a little more melodramatic around Christmas, for example?
Actually, I don't know if the actual stories change, but there are lots more stories of ghost encounters in my experience in the dark part of the year, from like October through Christmas, you know, Halloween through Christmas. The darkest time of the year, the more quiet season, is when there's more spirit activity, seems to be.
All right, let's go to Stephen, truck driving in Arizona, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Stephen. Thanks.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm a new driver, and I just started in June, but right after I got assigned my truck, I stopped for the night, and I was woken out of a really deep sleep to the sound of an echoing, maniacal laugh of an elderly woman. And I thought maybe I was just dreaming, or maybe my brain was translating sounds or something. I went back to sleep, and immediately the same thing happened again. And I couldn't really, it kind of confused me that it was like an echoing sound. But then I thought maybe since my trailer was empty, maybe something was echoing in there, but nobody could be in there. I mean, if they if somebody was in there, they definitely would have died from heat stroke or something. But I fell asleep again, and I could feel somebody or something trying to pull my pillow out from under my head. I wasn't really scared, but I was more really annoyed that something kept waking me up. But I was wondering if you had heard any a similar story like that from other truckers.
I have, and actually the hollow or the echoey characteristic is actually one of the characteristics of ghost voices, at least the ones that I've heard, sort of a hollow metallic quality to them. And yes, one of the, I think the first story in the book is called Demon in Texas, and it was told by a trucker who said something came into his truck. And it felt like there was a wind blowing around inside his truck. In fact, there were paper or plastic bags in his cab that were blowing around. And he said this thing was trying to, I don't remember the exact details, but it was touching him somehow. I can't remember if it was pulling his hair or tugging at his head or doing something. But, yeah, he had an experience like that where something came into the truck and was unfriendly and causing trouble.
Let's go to Terry, one of your friends calling, a truck driver.
Oh, hi,
Terry. Go ahead. Terry?
Hello, how are you doing?
There you go. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay. Well, I really don't know exactly what to talk about.
Why'd you call?
Well, I did.
Terry has put two or three stories in the book and wrote the introduction. He's had some very spooky experiences out on the road.
I see. Okay. Do you want to share any of them with us, Terry?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this goes back years and years ago. I was probably 12, maybe 13. I'm from California, and every night we went out to pick up chickens, and we'd have to go out into Mojave Desert. And there's a highway out there it's highway number 18, and it's right off of 14, right out of Palmdale. It's really long, and it's really deserted, and there's not a whole lot that goes on. It's a shortcut between Los Angeles and Las Vegas.
Right.
And we usually picked up at around 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd be at the ranch, and then we would be back home somewhere around dawn. So we left Palmdale probably 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we headed out across 18. And I was riding with one of my dad's employees. His name was Jesus. And I usually slept. It was a long drive. It was about 2.5, 3 hours across to Victorville. And I just remember being thrown up against the dash of the truck. And then all of a sudden, I'm thrown back into the seat again. And he's slamming on the brakes, slamming on the accelerator. And out in that area, it could be anything. You know, you could have kids out there trying to play chicken with a truck. It could be anything. So I'm looking around, and I didn't see anything. And he's looking out my window. And I thought he was looking at me, and he didn't speak English hardly at all. And he's kind of pointing and kind of yelling. And I felt this thing slam up against the side of the truck. And I didn't see anything. It was dark. It's the middle of the night.
You got to be freaking at that time.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared to death. I mean, I'm a kid, and I probably wasn't worth 2 cents to him, doing the job, but, you know, it was something for me to do in the summertime. So here we are. It's hot. It's middle of the night, and he's freaking, and he's all over the road. He's on one side of the road, and then he's on the other side of the road, and he's slamming on the brakes, and he's accelerating. And finally, you know, I spot something, and it's out in the desert. It's out in the dirt, and there's a small mountain range, probably 1,000 yards away. And they're low hills, but they look like mountains. And between it and me in the truck, I see a shape, and it's running. And it's running right along the same speed we're going, which had to be 50, 55 miles an hour. I've never seen anything move as fast as this thing was. And next thing I know, it's running right at us, and bam, hits the side of the truck again.
Jeez. Was it putting dents in the truck?
Oh, yeah. Well, it gets worse. I mean, this thing...
Almost out of time here, Terry. Just go ahead real fast.
This thing outran us and came back and jumped on the hood. And it literally ripped the hood right off
of
the truck.
Jeez, what did it look like?
It was hairy. It looked like a dog, yet it didn't look like a dog. It was just enormous. I mean, it was as big as the hood on a Peterbilt.
That's got to be one of the most evil stories, Annie, I've ever heard.
Yeah, I love it.
That sounds like a possession or something for sure. Annie, thank you so much for being on the program. Annie's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. We're talking about her latest work, Trucker Ghost Stories. And those of you who are driving around tonight, just think of tonight and look behind you in your cab. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Will Wilkerson, Stephanie Smith, Sean LaDesur, Lex Lonehood, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.